Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
A historic game at FedEx Forum, but not really for the reasons you probably wanted to see. The Warriors knocked off the Grizzlies. We talk about that and get you set for what is statistically the easiest game in the league. That's tonight. Grizzlies Nets. We'll talk about that one too. All of that still to come. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Monday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I hope you had a terrific weekend. I know, very strange weekend in so many ways. If you are in the Memphis area, then, you know, it was ridiculously warm for the vast majority of this weekend. It was in the, like, I want to say it hit the 80s at one point. You know, really bizarre weather. It was like 99 in Oklahoma. I don't know what's going on. I do know that this weekend was largely grizzly free, except for Friday night, which was quite an interesting spectacle. And we'll talk about the game itself a fair bit, including some of the issues that plagued the Grizzlies throughout the loss. They did not get that vaunted third straight win against the Warriors, as a lot of people hoped and maybe even a few expected. That did not happen. The Warriors, very comfortable win in the end with a historic game from Draymond Green. This one, to start with right out of the gate, I'm pretty sure that, I don't know exactly how many, but I'm going to guess 20-25%, maybe 30% of folks sold these tickets to Warriors fans. I would guess, and I know you know, one friend of mine who shall remain nameless, but he and his buddies, they have a ticket split and all, you know, like a lot of people do, and they sell the Warriors ticket for big money. And, you know, because it helped that both these Warriors games, there was a Saturday night and a Friday night game. So, you know, very appealing date and the most appealing opponent in the league. So they paid for the vast majority of their season tickets just by doing that. And I think a lot of people did. I can't really blame you for that. If you're a fan, you know, if you're willing to sacrifice, you know, one of the most attractive games of the year just for that, then, and you can make the money, then hell, it's a great economic decision. But what it led to was an arena that was really, really loud for the Warriors and really, I mean, too much so. It was not a typical FedEx Forum crowd. It was not a typical FedEx Forum atmosphere. It was much more Warriors-filled than even the first game didn't seem quite as ridiculous like that. Maybe just because of the way the game went, but it didn't feel that way. It didn't seem that way even in the pregame. In the pregame of this one, you saw Warriors stuff everywhere. So that really kind of carried over to the game itself. And the game really was embodied by the very first Grizzly possession when Marc Gasol just can't even handle a basic pass to the elbow, and the ball goes out. You know, he deflects it, and the Warriors take it and end up, you know, getting out to a very quick start with Klay Thompson hitting tons of threes, and he scored the first 11 points of the game, and that was pretty much that. That kind of embodied the whole thing. It was just a really disjointed effort from the Grizzlies. And I think that was in large part due to the fact that the Warriors, in spite of having that game that ended up being another very comfortable win for them against Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant's return, that was a big hype game. That was on the horizon the next night. And a lot of us thought maybe the Warriors would be a little bit flat. You know, maybe they would not be quite as into this game. Maybe they'd be looking ahead, whatever. Not the case. The fact that they had lost the first two to the Grizzlies really seemed to override whatever issue they might have had about the timing of this thing or about looking ahead or any of that stuff. This atmosphere for them, the way they approached the game was it was a playoff type approach that they had, and the Grizzlies did not have that. The Grizzlies did not take that into account, and it ended up being a game where they were constantly scrapping and trying to fight from behind and never could. David Fizdale gets his first ejection as a Grizzly coach because of, yeah, I mean, the calls were ridiculous. But, I mean, it was, it didn't have any bearing on the game. And if he was trying to get his team fired up, it didn't work. So I don't know. I don't know if that was part of it. I mean, he's been close to getting ejected a couple times. James Capers gave him two quick tees, which was kind of ridiculous. They didn't even get a chance to get his money's worth at all. But he was coming well onto the court, and I think he wanted it. So he got it. It was not a major impact in the game, but it was kind of quite the spectacle to see. He gets ejected. J.B. Bickerstaff took over and coached the rest of the game. Not much that the J.B. could have done. I wish he would have taken the starters out and let them get a little bit of rest in that fourth quarter. There was no reason for them to really play, but otherwise, no issue with that. Now, let's get to, first of all, I got to talk about Draymond Green. I know this is a Grizzlies podcast, but that effort, if you are a basketball fan, and you may absolutely hate Draymond Green, I get it, but you have to respect the hell out of a performance like that. That is, you will go thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of games that you could watch and never see what you saw on Friday night again. You'll never see it. The guy ended up with a triple-double without points for the first time in NBA history. The guy finished with 10 steals and 5 blocks, which that's a record in the NBA. No one's done that. 10 steals, 2 blocks is the closest, and that was Michael Jordan. He had 10 steals and 5 blocks. That means combined, he had 15 steals and blocks, or stocks, as we like to call them, and the Grizzlies had 10 as a team. You know, that's going to get you beat badly every night. 4 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 steals, 5 block shots. It was an absurd defensive effort. And I got to tell you, that doesn't even encapsulate everything that he did. The points, it was just funny. At one point, he airballs a 3. He was kind of trying for it, but he didn't do any Ricky Davis level shenanigans to try to get those points. It's amazing that he missed out on a 5x5, which is 5 points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. That's a very, very rare accomplishment. And Andrei Kirilenko used to get a few of those, but very few can even approach that because it just requires such an all-around game. But he did it, and he would have done it easily had he just scored one more basket, anything. So 4 points, that was it. 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 steals, 5 blocks. It doesn't even make sense to me that you could do that. And he was contesting shots that didn't get, you know, there wasn't any statistical notation of that, but he was contesting everything, switching, guarding smalls, bigs. This was a playoff-level defensive player of the year type effort from Draymond Green, a game you'll never see it again. You'll never see that again. That was crazy what he was doing. He was everywhere out there, very motivated. And presumably by the comeback and by the record and all that, it was obvious that he and the rest of the Warriors were ready to play. And the Grizzlies, unfortunately for them, were not. Marcus Gasol started badly, played badly, and a lot of it had to do with the way the Warriors defended against him. He was really put in situations where he didn't know what was coming. And he and Mike Conley both, I talked to them about that after the game. You'll hear some of that sound. They were both just very slow to be able to figure out what the Warriors were doing, and that really cost the Grizzlies. You know, Mark is normally pretty decisive, pretty good passer in all those situations. Even if you double team, he can see guys. He's got high level skills as a playmaker, but the Warriors kept mixing things up against him, so he was slower to make those plays, to make those passes. You know, when he would pass to a cutter, it was a half a second or a second later than normal, which gave guys like Draymond Green an opportunity to come over and cover and block shots, which you saw a few times, where guys weren't reacting as quickly. They weren't cutting to the right area of the court to give Mark a chance to make that pass. You know, those are the things that happened for the Grizzlies in this ballgame because of the Warriors' energy, their ability to switch. They really do. You know, they defended Mark well with Kevin Durant. He had a lot of success against Mark. You know, JaVale McGee was, you know, he made some mental errors in this game, shockingly. But by and large, he did a pretty good defensive job on Marc Gasol when he was on there, when he was on him. And you know, then they even, you know, tried Kevon Looney a little bit, and he did okay, actually. Mark just never got going. 4 of 14 for the 17 points that he scored. He did get to the foul line 10 times and made 8 of those. 6 rebounds, 7 assists for Mark, and a steal and a block. But not a big game for Mark. Mike Conley also ends up statistically with a good game, but struggled to really make an impact on this one. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals for Mike. 6 of 16, 4 of 6 from behind the arc. The 3-point shooting really kept the Grizzlies, I won't say in the game because they really weren't, but kept them relatively, at least free from being completely blown out. And Mike had a lot to do with that. But everything else just didn't really fly for the Grizzlies. Zach Randolph had a big game, 17 and 13 off the bench in just 25 minutes. But again, defensively, he was a liability against a small team that could go out there and fire off threes. And guys like Iguodala, who had a very big night, off the bench, 6 of 7 for 22 points, but picked up tons of fouls with the foul line a ton. The matchup was just too much for Zach. So even, you know, we've seen this a lot with him. We saw that against the Thunder when Joffrey Laverne really took advantage of him, even though he had a double-double off the bench on that night. Same thing here. He had the double-double, but it really, the defensive side of it is still a big problem for the Grizzlies going forward. So overall, just a bad night. A night that, you know, Chandler Parsons would have been interesting to see. I don't think he would have made a huge difference, but it would have been interesting to see because of his height and his switchability and the fact that he probably could have been more beneficial against some of these lineups than, you know, Jermichael, perhaps, certainly Zach, Vince, in that playing small 3-4 kind of role. You know, Parsons would have been a little bit better. I don't think it would have mattered because Parsons athletically probably couldn't keep up with the Warriors, but it would have been an interesting one to see, the fact that he had this recovery day. And he is fine, by the way, for tonight. There's no listing of anybody on the Grizzlies injury report. So if all goes well, he'll play against the Brooklyn Nets. But this was a bit of a slap in the face for the Grizzlies. This was a wake-up call. This was a stern reminder of how far they still need to go to compete when the Warriors are playing well. And the Thunder got that same thing, by the way. So it is not unique to the Grizzlies. This Warriors team is really, really spectacular. The amount of talent they've got out there is absurd. And when you are running, and I talked to Mike Conley about this after the game, when you can run stuff and have, you know, your third option be Kevin Durant wide open three, I don't know what you're supposed to do as a defender. It's very, very difficult. You know, you Klay Thompson just took Tony Allen to school early in this ballgame. Very unusual to see, but Tony was not mentally up to the challenge. He kind of zoned out and gave Klay opportunities. And, you know, that's not what you expect to see. And that really does hurt you because Golden State still, even though it's not talked about as much, they still do a little variation on that, you know, leave Tony Allen wide open and use his man to help cover towards the bigs. Yeah, they still use that to an extent. They still risked a lot, because when Marc Gasol would get the post, they would often send double teams from different areas, but a lot of times they would double right off of Tony's guy. It would be Clay, usually to go over there and to try to disrupt Marc, and they just didn't. They just bet a little kind of educated guess, a little calculated risk that, you know, their double team was going to be so fast and so effective that the Grizzlies wouldn't be able to take advantage of it. You know, that even though you're leaving a guy wide open or a guy that's largely uncovered, they just didn't feel like the Grizzlies would be able to get the shooting and the quick playmaking that they would need to really take advantage of that situation. And that turned out to be absolutely right. So the Grizzlies go back to the drawing board to some extent on some of this stuff when they're playing the Warriors, and they're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure out what it is that, you know, they can do against this active multiple type defense, or it's going to be a long playoff series should they meet in the postseason, which would be a fascinating matchup. Yeah, I'd love to see it. And I think the Grizzlies are more than capable of playing significantly better than they did. Turn the ball over, you know, way too much. 19 turnovers led to 25 Golden State points. That is not going to get it done in this matchup. So let's hear from Marc Gasol, first of all. And I asked Marc, you know, did how much of the difficulty had to do with what they were doing X's and O's wise, and how much of it had to do with poor effort on the Grizzlies' part?
I don't necessarily think it was effort. I think it's more reacting to the things, you know, being disruptive. We were not really disruptive. We were too concerned about our own guy and ourselves too much, and we got a little selfish. And then when things got bad, you know, it's kind of human nature or NBA nature to go into, you know, you only worry about a little bit about you and not so much about the team, and well, it's not my fault. And we can't have that. I mean, that's not the way a good team should operate. So, you know, we get back at it, and we'll, you know, we'll work tomorrow, and or maybe not tomorrow, but the day after, and win the next game. That's the only way I know how to solve it. You got to give credit to Alder, you know, Alder players. He does a great job of getting really close to you. He relies on Alder guys talking. They do a good job communicating. They're a good defensive team. They're always in the right spots. Especially, you know, when we cut them loose, I think defensively, you know, our spacing, our movement wasn't great. So we allowed them to be in a zone for a long, long time. That makes things a lot tougher. I couldn't figure out if I should roll. When I popped, they switched. When I rolled, you know, they collapsed. When I tried to post up, they double team. So I'll go watch tape and see how can I be more effective against that, those type of defense.
So there's that talk again of being selfish. And that's a theme that Marc has hit on multiple times this year, that particularly when it comes on the defensive side of the ball, that he thinks that there are times when the players get too anxious to avoid being beaten by their guys, so they overhelp or they get out of their lane to try to prevent that from happening, and that opens up another opportunity somewhere else on the court. So you know, that is something that he is very, very, very aware of and does not like. And he has made it clear that that's something that, that tends to happen for this team when they get into a stressed situation, when they're being stressed by an opponent, and the Grizzlies very much were being stressed by the Warriors. Also talked to Mike Conley a little bit about some of the things that, that they did and some of the things that they do on both sides. He starts by talking about their offense and how special it is.
You know, they're a unique team. You know, you can be as good of a defensive team as you want to be. Some nights, you know, when they have it clicking, you know, you have to make decisions and make choices, and sometimes just leave the guy open for a three while a guy's rolling for a dunk, or, you know, and you're going to be put in that position because guys are rolling, and they had it rolling, and we're not going to let it affect what we do. I think we have to learn from this and keep moving forward and understand that we're still a very, very good defensive team and have improved over the weeks.
I then asked Mike about the defense and how they could do things that, that no one else could do. And I asked him if that was a big reason why the Grizzlies struggled so much offensively. I mean, the Grizzlies shot 39% from the field, 35% from three. you know, did score 107 points, but certainly not efficiently, and not in the way that they've been doing in the recent past. So I asked Mike about, you know, what made their defense so difficult to deal with.
It's pretty unique. Not a lot of teams can do that. You know, it really can throw, you know, throw you for a loop in your offense when, you know, one possession they're switching, one possession they're not, one possession right. they're trapping, and you never, you know, they're mixing it
you're
up.
Never comfortable.
Yeah, you're never really comfortable understanding what you're doing sometimes, and that's unique for them, and I think that's the strength that they're capable of having with guys like Draymond and KD and like size positions, even with JaVale in there, you know, holding down the paint, it really helps have that length. So if we're gonna win when it counts, we have to be able to handle these situations. So hopefully that'll be the case.
We shall see if it is the case. It was kind of a litmus test sort of game. And the Grizzlies have put up, as we have discussed quite a bit, a much better than you would anticipate record against those teams. They've had some, you know, strange losses this year, the Grizzlies, but they've had some unexpected wins. This just wasn't one of them. And so as you heard you know, Mike say there, you got to take this and learn from it. But there were just, you know, some strategic limitations and some personnel limitations that were just ruthlessly exploited by the probable NBA champions. That's a very easy night to figure out exactly what happened. I'll tell you, coming up later on in this week, we're going to talk, tomorrow's show we'll obviously talk about the Brooklyn game and throw in a few surprises. We're going to do as well, and maybe Thursday or Friday this week, and maybe it'll be during the All-Star break week, but gonna give you all those details about, you know, the really getting down into the Grizzlies' X's and O's, why they do some of the things that they do, and what some of their numbers are in that regard. So we're gonna do that. That's gonna be coming up. Also coming up, you're going to do some trade deadline specialty stuff as well. Had our first big trade over the weekend between Portland and Denver. A couple of teams jockeying for that eighth spot. Mason Plumlee involved, sent to Denver for Nurkic and the 2017 first-round pick belonging to your Memphis Grizzlies, who by a number of different trades and whatnot ended up trading that thing away four seasons ago, I guess it was, to Cleveland, who hot-potatoed it over to Denver. And that is where they're at. So now Denver hot-potatoes that thing over to Portland. Portland now with three first-round picks in what should be a very good draft going forward. So the Grizzlies were involved. Yeah, I think they actually got a second-round pick in this deal somewhere or another. But the Grizzlies were actually involved at one point, even if it is sort of indirectly, in this thing that I don't know, and I'm not sure if this is a big enough move to open up the floodgates or to be the primary domino or whatever. But maybe. I hope so. It's been a quiet lead up to the deadline thus far. Now, as I mentioned, it will be the Brooklyn Nets tonight for the Grizzlies. I this doesn't even rise to anything close to worthy of a full 3Q preview. They are a horrendous team, Brooklyn. They have very little talent. They have lost 12 straight ball games. They are 9-45. This is one that is, you know, if it were at home, certainly even more so. But even on the road, you have to beat this squad. Outside of Brook Lopez, their second leading scorer this year is Bojan Bogdanović. You know, Sean Kilpatrick is a nice story, but come on. So yes, this should be a very comfortable win for the Grizzlies. And don't tell me I'm jinxing it either, because I don't want to hear it. I'm not having that. No. We talked about that before the Phoenix game last week. So that's one of the simplest games in the NBA. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. This is a win tonight for the Grizzlies. And then they move on and they go forward and figure out where to go from there. One more game at home against the Pelicans. And then comes the All-Star break. Everyone with an opportunity to get a little rest except for Marc Gasol. So two games left and nobody listed on the injury report. No planned rest as of this point for anybody in this ball game. Maybe there could be late scratch, something like that, but at least right now there's nothing that would indicate there would be any issue there. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56877 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the commercial appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @peteredmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.